You're listening to Around Comics, episode 96. Chicago, this is Around Comics, a roundtable discussing topics in and around the world of comics. I'm your host, Christopher Naisman, and I'm joined, as always, by the co-host of the show, Mr. Brian Salazar.
Yo.
And Mr. Tom Caters.
It's like 4 in the morning. We just talked to Matt Fraction for 10 hours.
Mind warp.
And we're going to edit it down to a tight
3.
20 minutes.
Oh.
I'm kidding. Sound bites.
What the?
I've let everyone look behind the curtain.
Nope. Tom. Damn it, Tom.
Everything you hear is done perfectly the first time.
Well, we do have another guest on the show today, in addition to Mr. Matt Fraction.
Yeah, we're really showing him how it's done, too.
Yeah, professionalism at its finest.
Throwing
here.
Garbage at each other.
folks that listen to...
I knew that bottle cap was in there the whole time.
Yeah, you just pegged me in the head with a bottle cap. Thanks, Sal. That's a lot. Folks that listen to the truly fantastic iFanboy podcast, this will be a very familiar voice. It is Mr. Josh Flanagan.
Hello there.
What is it with everyone in the voices? You, Suntress, Norton.
No, I thought me and Suntress could have a voice off.
Oh, God.
At some point, we'd do like a whole thing.
You and Sal should have an English accent.
No.
Make people the maddest. Like, stop using accents.
No, they like it when I do it.
I was working on my Orson Welles, but let's not go.
Well, Josh, welcome to Chicago and welcome to Around Comics.
Thank you very much. I'm having fun. I'm avoiding the shrapnel.
Yeah. I got a bottle cap with your name on it, Josh.
Because you're talking about your level of professionalism, which really like assumes that like I'm like, that's not how we do it.
Jeez. You guys all show up with suitcases.
Like we're fierce professionals. We get right to it. We have interns. It's a whole get thing.
We know. You video guys. You got, you know, all that big video production.
We went to college for that. We need to do something with our degrees.
Otherwise, your life is just...
My mom's just like, didn't you go to school for something completely... Yeah, I know, okay?
Hey, I'm worried
about comics.
I happen to do a very well-produced 15-minute video podcast about comic books.
It is awesome. It took us an hour.
Watch it.
Well, before we get too deep into the episode, I do want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com.
InStockTrades.com would like to welcome Matt Fraction to the show and let all our listeners know that they have the Punisher War Journal Volume 1 Premier Hardcover, the 30 Days of Night Bloodsucker Tales Hardcover, and the Five Fists of Science graphic novel, all discounted by 30-35%. Find out why Matt Fraction is one of the hottest creators in comics by checking out any of these great, great titles. I don't know why I said great twice, but it's that good. Okay. Remember that InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions. I really hope they don't come up with any other fucking names for graphic novels. And more. All at great discounted prices. And all orders over $50 ship for free. InStockTrades.com.
The double bound.
The double bound.
The hard case.
If I say anything at this point, we'll lose our sponsor, so just move on.
Around Comics is recorded every Friday at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Oh, we start at 7 p.m. and we finish by
1.
Sunday.
We are recorded from Friday to Saturday.
Boo.
And actually, a big crowd in here today. We've got Mike Norton, Scotty Young, John Suntress.
That's a bit deceptive because none of them are paying any fucking attention
I know.
To us.
They looked up, I have a call.
There's
a
crowd nearby.
Look at Norton has this amazing glazed over look on his face. Like, somebody just said my name.
There's a crowd nearby.
Hi, guys.
I apologize for that, but I think you'll find this a bit more interesting.
Matt Fraction has become one of our favorite writers in comics. Fraction has shown an amazing ability to jump genres, whether it's the gangster western in Last of the Independents, the off-the-wall sci-fi adventures of Mark Twain and Nikola Tesla in Five Fists of Science, the mind-bending secret agent capers of Casanova, or his mainstream work on Iron Fist and Punisher War Journal.
Where's the colorful adjectives to go with Iron Fist and Punisher War Journal?
The immortal Iron Fist and the wonky Punisher War Journal. Is that good?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay.
Wonky?
Nice. The new scribe of Marvel's relaunch of the Champions, yeah, or as we find out later, not the Champions, has moved from being a name to watch to a writer to follow.
Champions?
The first-class division leaders from Marvel.
Champions. Around Comics is happy to welcome back to the show Matt Fraction.
Finalists.
I tell you, Matt, let's actually start off with Casanova. That's when we really kind of first started to kind of...
We're about at the same point where we're like a couple of months ago. Well, no, I guess you guys had read Cas 1.
You had sent us a preview of Casanova 1 before we had talked to you the first time, and we all loved it, and then you agreed to be on the show. And since then, it's Cas is what on... it's wrapped up issue 8? Is that right?
8 is coming out in August.
Okay.
Eight is the launch. 8 is the start of volume 2.
And then, but since then, it's been Punisher War Journal and Iron Fist, and I think Five Fists of Science had come out right after that. So it was like this huge volume of work. But Casanova has pretty much wrapped up the first collection, and you had some pretty exciting news about the first collected edition coming out.
Yeah, it's apparently the orders were strong enough that Image thought it was worth their while to actually make it a hardcover. Instead of paperback, so it's coming out as an oversized hardcover, and then the paperback is going to follow a couple months down the road.
Nice. Now,
I don't know, but the thing is, I don't know, how that works through Diamond, because it was solicited as a trade. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's now returnable or what the story is. So there's, logistical questions I don't have the answers to, but all I know is it's coming out as this beautiful hardcover, and I'm very excited.
Type of questions we have, though, logistical.
Just cover for me if I get in the tall grass, somebody throw me a fucking rope.
What sort of paperweight are we talking about? level of whiteness.
12 pounds.
And the bindings.
22, 21, whatever it takes.
Would you prefer if we moved on to champion trivia?
Hey, he had a Mr. Yeah. Mom reference there. We can't let that pass.
There you go. Thank you for catching that.
All right, you're welcome.
Sorry, I missed.
I think with everybody there, somebody had to get to Mr. Mom.
Hey, I got to be the centrist for this one. I got to catch the occasional, movie reference.
Found a beer? 7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
One of the great things about Casanova is the back matter. Is that going to be included in the hardcover collection?
No, that's just to get people to buy the books, the singles.
Okay.
This is there is new bonus material in the Casanova hardcover, but it is not collected back matter from the issues.
Wow.
The back matter from the issues is there as an incentive for early adopters and people who are willing to basically finance the book to make it to where we can put out a collection that's beautiful, hardcover, and oversized. So it's bonus material in the pure sense. It's not. I don't want to make anybody double dip if we don't have to. And there's all new bonus stuff in the hardcover. Dick ass nerd shit for me. check out the books themselves because it will not be reprinted in the collections.
You're going to have a new artist on the next series of Casanova, I hear?
Yes, Gabriel Baugh's twin brother, Fabio Moon.
How do you know it's not Gabriel?
It's a good question, but I have seen them both in the same place at the same time.
And their
styles are, in fact, different.
Fabio Moon of Guns and... Oh, what's the name of that book?
Guns and Ammo?
No. It was about the killer cigarette girls. Smoking Guns.
You know, actually, we had a...
I wasn't that far
away. We had a forum question regarding that. This is from Brian Bowles, who does our Long Box of Love.
Oh, sure. The comic strip.
Yeah, exactly, which we all love. But he asks, with Fabio Moon taking over the art on the next art of Cas, is Matt altering the story to better suit Fabio's art style? He seems to have a softer, more fluid look than Gabriel Baugh. Also, could Matt talk briefly about Arnold Drake? Matt's posts on his blog about Mr. Drake's work have been fabulous.
St. Arnold. Let's do it. In order. It's the style and theme and direction of the arc is different, and Fabio is well suited for it. Where the first volume, the first album of Casanova's stories were told in an 8-grid, a very sort of European 4-tier, 2 panels a tier, was the default format that we then kind of explored around. Cast 1 is an 8-panel grid, cast 2 is a 6-panel grid. So it's 3 tiers of 2, and then sort of dividing that into 4s and 3s from there. So it's a different volume, it's a different storyline, it's a different time, and some different characters and different themes and different adventures, so it's a different style book, and Fabio is really appropriate for that. The changing the style of the storyline came before I knew Fabio was going to be doing it.
What was the idea for that? I mean, why did you come up with the idea to change the form?
It's a different thing, you know. It's just I want each of the volumes has, you know, as many as we get anyway, are going to have their own theme and their own kind of direction and their own style. And this was that's just kind of it. Yeah, I just wanted each one to be kind of different and have its own vibe. I love how you can see, like, in like a movie like Traffic, where each of the three kind of locales have their own kind of color and their own sort of way that they're shot and the way that they're cut together. It's something like that. Like, I wanted each album to have its own kind of vibe and its own tone. Each one's gonna have a different spot color. This one's blue. Instead of green. So it's going to be black, white, and blue now instead of black, white, and green. And, you know, it's going to change, and the next one's going to have a different color as we go through all 7.
Red, white, and blue.
Did you just refer to it as an album?
Yeah, which is kind of like an affectation of mine. But I sort of, the actual definition of an album, like, you know, back in the day, record albums were called albums because they were actually like photo albums. They were little kind of binders that held paper sleeves that you put 72 RPM records into.
What?
So you would have an album of marching music that were all these, like, it would hold like 6 Sousa 72s, and that would be your Sousa album.
Nice!
I'm not even kidding. And since each of the single stories were kind of their own individual deals that formed kind of a complete experience, I thought we would call it an album instead of an arc. Because I went to art school.
I thought you had been hanging out with Kieran Gillen too much.
Right. Well, there's that too. It was a cool way of thinking about a collection of single stories that form a completed whole.
Well, I know that speaking of Kieran, and I know that he and Jamie McKelvey spent a little bit of time at your forum, and you've been a pretty big supporter of Phonogram.
Yes.
Which is one of our favorite books. And, you know, I love that both Cass and Phonogram draw on musical influences so much. And you guys seem very, you know, very, well, not, here's the horrible pun, in tune with, and Tom rolls his eyes.
God. You have a huge list of puns in front of you.
There's a real harmony. And then the panels evoke a melody of sorts.
You hit all the beats.
The beats, the notes hitting. You hit a real high note with...
It was a hit.
In addition to Phonogram, are there any other titles out there that you're really enjoying right now?
Scalped, the Jason Aaron book from Vertigo, which is sort of like a really black-hearted crime on an Indian reservation kind of thing. And Ed's Criminal. I just sat down and reread the first volume of Criminal again, and that was just a tremendously great read. You want to know, and maybe we should save this for later in the show, and we can all kind of dork out about it, but what I got caught up on this week was 52.
Ah, we've been talking.
Which knocked my fucking socks off.
We had a big show about it 50 weeks in.
I had to listen to it because I was waiting, but I've got it on my iTunes ready to go, but that was one of the things that made me think, oh, I really should read it, because I knew it was almost over, and that, you guys said it like 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah, it was like right after 50.
We decided to split it quite evenly.
And, 50.
50
and
weeks and then talk about the last
Matt, one. I read 49 issues of 52 in 4 days, and my brain melted.
How did that work?
I did about the same thing. I did about the same thing.
Did you find that it read well like that? Because when I was reading it week by week, I thought, well, this is probably a good way to do it, because if it was all at once, it'd feel like it would be too much.
The thing was that I stopped, at month 2, 3, somewhere in there, because all I could see was the micro, and I couldn't see the macro. Mm-hmm. And it was driving me crazy, and I wasn't capable of approaching the work fairly, so I just thought, well, I'm just going to let them accrue, and I'll catch up to it in a big chunk. And then it sort of slipped my mind, and then suddenly the book's almost over. I was like, well, I should get caught up now, and kind of plowed through it. Yeah, in about like a week, 5 days maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And loved it though. I loved it. I really, really. I have this a huge blog post. I want to write it a kind of whole analysis of it before it comes out. But I think it is a remarkable achievement in all of its successes and failures, and absolutely one of the funnest superhero books I've read in forever, and deserving of all the success, and not deserving of a lot of the whack bullshit that it's gotten on the internet from a bunch of pissant motherfuckers.
Did you catch the St. Louis Cardinals getting beat by the Metroids in, I think it was issue 2 in the World Series?
I did, actually, and I just wanted to kiss Greg Rucka right on the mouth.
That was not... Greg wouldn't do that to me.
Join the club.
Yeah, Chris...
I don't know, but Greg's the only one of those guys that I know.
Yeah.
So I just assumed, that has to be Greg.
The kiss would be less awkward that way.
Yeah. I can't imagine just walking up to Grant Morrison and kissing him on the mouth.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think he's used to that, though. Great. Hi, this is Greg Rucka, and we're all around comics.
Last time we talked to you, I think, was well before you started writing, books like Immortal Iron Fist and the Punisher War Journal, and recently announced the new Champions book that you're going to be working on. What's it been like for you the last, year, going from, working on your creator-owned stuff to working for Marvel and becoming a... household name in the comic book industry?
Well, if I may quote the bard, Gwen Stefani, this shit is bananas, B-A-N-A-N-A-S. It's been nuts. It's been great and incredibly rewarding and really tiring, but it's been good. It's been, the last time we talked, I'd actually been working on War Journal since last April, but Civil War had it so kind of goofy that I kind of, it was sort of in limbo for a long time, and I was kind of working, writing scripts into a vacuum. But I mean, my goal was always to kind of be like the Coen brothers or like Steven Soderbergh, and sort of always make projects with my own sensibility, but kind of sometimes with a clear mainstream sensibility and sometimes just kind of out of left field stuff. So I feel like the plan came together. I have a very sort of Hannibal at the end of an A-Team episode feel, where it's time to light up a fresh cigar and get Murdoch medicated and get on the airplane,
Nice. Well, yeah, I think the first time that we talked to you, you had just kind of become a full-time writer at that point and left your day job. Had you been writing full-time at that point?
It was probably pretty close. Or when did we talk? June?
When was that?
Well, we talked at episode 50,
your life,
I think,
Matt
for a little
Fraction.
While.
Boy, it was close then. Yeah, it was really close. I don't remember the specifics. But no, I quit at the end of June. I quit my job and sort of became, or rather, I became a full-time writer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been sort of working from home ever since. So, yeah.
Hoo-ah. Well, what's that, I don't know what your previous work was, but how was the transition from, doing the day job to basically working for yourself? Are you able to regiment your days? And obviously by the amount of work that you're putting out, I would say the answer is yes, but how was that transition of becoming your own boss?
It's funny that I actually left the job where I was my own boss.
Okay.
Some friends and I had started.
So you didn't tell them off when
company.
You quit. Fuck you! I quit.
You're not. Sadly, you're not far from the truth.
I wouldn't talk to me for days.
But I had some friends and I started a motion graphics design and animation company. We did music videos and commercial film and TV work, and we were our own bosses. We started out of art school and did it for like five or six years. So I had a pretty awesome day job, you know, all things considered. And yeah, it was, it didn't, and eventually just became, it became very kind of apparent that it was time for me to leave. So I left. And actually, what had kind of kept me from leaving sooner, I mean, aside from it being a fantastic job and sort of pride of ownership and all that stuff, was just like, I had already gone through the kind of nightmare of starting a company from nothing with friends and everything. Like, and that's like a terrifying, exhausting, horrible, wonderful experience. I was just terrified to go through it again. But sort of, I was left, you know, I was kind of at wit's end and had no other option, so I kind of bailed and just tore into it, and it kind of have been okay, luckily enough. So, but I already sort of had the discipline, you know what I mean? Like, I was used to, like, if the paycheck doesn't come, I have nobody to yell at but me, you know what I mean? Like I was used to that. The discipline, all that stuff was already there, just because we'd already sort of started from a bunch of art school fuck-ups to, honestly, the company is like an international success, and it's been around the world, and I've worked for clients great and small worldwide, so it's sort of like I understood the discipline required to make that kind of work. So it was really great, though. I mean, I just get to be home with my wife and, you know, walk the dogs, and it's great.
So you do get outside. You're not a recluse.
No, totally not. No, I like going to the gym and working and seeing people, and there's like a ton of comics people in town where I live, which is kind of weird. So there's like a nice community. I was at Andy Parks' place last weekend, and with Tony Moore and Greg Thompson and Lauren McCubbin. You know what I mean? So it's like there's a bunch of them. My wife was there, and she's got comics coming out next month. And
nice. That's right. Kelly's working on some stuff. I was going to mention real quick. You had talked about Scalped, and that's Jason Aaron, who's also a Kansas Cityan.
Also a KC boy. Yeah.
So there's that.
Scalped is fantastic. I love Scalped, and that was the original. We were talking about stuff we read. Yeah, but Scalped is great.
Yeah. Now mentioned Kelly Sue has some stuff coming out. What's she been working on?
She's doing a 30 Days a Night series with Steve Niles, and it kind of, I don't know how into like 30 Days you are, but it sort of bridges the gap between the second and the third books. The second and third kind of storylines with the main characters, Stellan and Evan and Stella. Because it's sort of, they're the main characters in the first volume, they're the main characters in the second volume, and then they're kind of not around in the third volume. And this kind of explains, this kind of connects that tissue. So it's also the first time that, like, those main characters have been touched sort of since then, which is kind of cool. It's this sort of weird combination love story and horror comic, and I think that's next month or the month after. I'm not sure when it comes out.
Is that coming out in singles, or is that going to be a trade?
Yeah, no, that'll be out in, it's a 4-issue miniseries, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because you had worked on the Bloodsucker Tales.
Yeah, I did the second the half of the back half of the first 8 Bloodsucker Tales.
Did you ask him for pointers?
Not really. In fact, I think it's sort of really consciously kept away from me. and you know, her process is her own, and she doesn't need me mucking it up, you know.
Well, prior to this, she had primarily done a lot of English translations of manga, isn't that?
Yeah, she does, and she's still doing a handful of those.
Okay.
Hello, this is Steve Niles, and you are listening to Around Comics.
Well, moving on to some of your other work, obviously Immortal Iron Fist. I've absolutely loved that series
so far.
And we talked to Ed Brubaker a couple weeks back about the working relationship between the two of you and working, you know, co-writing that book. What's your, you know, I'd like to hear your perspective on writing it, you know, co-writing it with Ed, and what that process is like.
I think we complement each other really well, and coming off of sort of. Yeah, there's a, I don't want to say right way, because it's like, it's subjective, you know, it's art, it's all that stuff, but there's definitely a successful way to write Marvel Comics, you know what I mean? Like, you could do a lot worse than to learn your craft at the knee of Ed Brubaker with regards to how to handle Marvel superhero books.
Sure.
He has a kind of, he has an innate sense of successful superhero pacing and plotting that I kind of lack, or that I disregard. And I have a kind of, I don't want to say like imagination, because that's maybe insulting, but a kind of a degree of, that maybe he lacks, just because it's, because he does so much sort of street level stuff. You know what I mean? So I think I bring the kind of, you know, I'm definitely Murdoch to his, Hannibal.
That's twice.
I thought you were going to say Foggy.
Metaphor.
Wait, is he Hannibal or BA or what?
Wait. Oh, he's Hannibal. He's clearly Hannibal. Okay.
And you're BA? Wait,
no. I'm Murdoch. Oh, I'm okay. The crazy one. David Aja is Face. And our editor Warren Simons is B.A. Baracus.
Well, hey, speaking of David Aja's artwork, has been absolutely fantastic on that series. But whenever we talked to Ed, we asked him what a thrill it was to work with John Severin, and then
Ed shoved me out of the fucking way. You know? I mean, most times we're like, oh, I'll do this scene or I'll do that scene, and it was like, I'm not Severin. I was like, oh.
Hey, you got pretty good dibs on the next one.
I'm not
one, though.
Complaining.
You got Russ Heath, dude.
I got Russ Heath. And I got, I'm absolutely not complaining, believe you me.
Yeah, but Brubaker did shove you off the cliff on that one, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he turned out the lights and hit me with a chair. And
sock full of quarters.
Yeah, exactly. He was real hypnol, and it was a bad scene.
I wanted to ask you, since you've started to get a little bit higher profile and you're working on some more mainstream books, have you seen an impact on sales of some of your older stuff, like Last of the Independents and Five Fists of Science?
I haven't really been. I don't know. I haven't really been paying attention.
You might want to check up on that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
He's getting the Marvel dollars. He doesn't need to worry about that stuff now.
Yeah, no. It's more of a time and energy issue. But no, I sort of those are out there, and we'll see.
Because we were talking to Brubaker, and he was saying that he'd learned from Bendis that people would read his, you know, they'd read his superhero stuff, and they'd go, we love it, but they'd never heard of Powers. Like, do you find, like, you can be like, you know, you could read Five Fists of Science, and people are like, oh, I didn't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's the direct market, you know what I mean? I know how it works. I've worked in the direct market, and I've been in comics long enough to understand. Yeah, I mean, I know how it works. I mean, some people have heard about it, some haven't, and I hope the word continues to spread.
Going back to Iron Fist, what do we have coming up for Danny Rand? Anything?
Oh, man, things get worse.
Of course.
And worse and worse. Let's see. Well, 4 is out now, is that correct?
Yes, that's the last issue.
Okay. So there's an incredibly awesome, my favorite fight scene of the entire volume happens in the next issue, where there's a fight in the train station. The Five Points pneumatic subway train station that never existed. This is tremendous, awesome Hydra fight in there. And out of our whole kind of first year, this has been my favorite action scene, where you've got Hydra guys and trains and two Iron Fists and explosions and running around and good stuff. Let's see, things get really bad, and then people die.
No!
And then something incredible happens. And that's the end of issue 6. And issue 7 is our one-off issue about Woshi, the pirate queen Iron Fist, who you saw in Iron Fist number 2.
Nice.
That's sort of her story, her like life story, and how she became the Iron Fist, and more importantly, why she was the last woman to be allowed to learn kung fu in the city limits of Cleveland.
Because they had to start driving.
Women aren't allowed to do kung fu. She was the last female Iron Fist, and this is her story, and it explains why that is.
I was going to ask you about that. I mean, because of the way you designed this reemergence of Iron Fist and the new sort of legacy of the Iron Fist, I was wondering if you were going to go back to any of these previous Iron Fist characters that we've seen so far and tell a little bit more detailed stories of them.
Yeah, no, we are absolutely ripping off Starman.
I guess you might be, yeah.
But, you know, it's built in to give our art team a break, and it's a way. It's genius. I mean, it's kind of. I mean, James Robinson is a genius for several reasons. But I mean, structurally, that's great. I mean, you get to tell a story, bring in a guest artist, give your artist a month off to kind of recharge his batteries, and you get to explore kind of a cool cul-de-sac that doesn't derail your main narrative, and you get a kind of a cool one-off story. I mean, the Wu Oshi issue was written so differently than every other issue we've done so far. It's written. Do you guys remember the old Jade Man comics? The old Chinese kung fu comics.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Like Mike Barron did like the transliteration for all of them back in the day, like 87, 88, somewhere in there.
I bet John Suntress knows what it is. No, he doesn't.
John. You stumped John.
Like Fist of the Buddha's Palm and Tales of the Blood Sword. Anyway. Iron Fist 7 is totally like there's like a Chinese kung fu romance comic. You know, it's like if Princess Bride was a wuxia film, you'd have Iron Fist 7. So it's cool. It's just a great opportunity to kind of explore this different characters and different styles of storytelling and different adventures. And because, you know, like we knew when we wrote the scene where like the one little girl Iron Fist sunk an entire pirate fleet, we're like, wow, that's a cool story. But how do you tell, you know, how do you find the place to explore that? So this is the kind of the format. And it ultimately ties in with where the book is going, and the less I say about that, the more kind of surprises and enjoyment you might get out of the last two issues. But there's a narrative justification for it as well. Let me just kind of leave that out there, that it's all sort of will make sense and is explained as we go along.
Going back to the idea that you're having different artists on different segments of the books, has there been any problems with that at all as far as, you know, trying to coordinate everything? Or
if there has been, all praise be to Warren Simons, who has kept it from us. He has made this machine run like butter off a baby's ass. It's just been great.
I mean, because there really wasn't any fanfare at all. I mean, it was just like these wonderful surprises to all of a sudden open up the book and see these great, you know, sort of older artists working on some of the pages. Was that intentional? I mean, did you guys just kind of want it to be a secret and surprise everyone with that stuff?
No, not necessarily. Part of it is your solicitations are due, and some of these older guys that aren't working, you know, something could always go wrong. So part of it is just kind of logistics. Part of it is, you know, we kind of got pushed. We came out like 5 months sooner than we were supposed to, or 4 months sooner than we were supposed to. It was originally planned, and we'd started to work for a February launch and ended up coming out in November. So part of it has been like, it's just been really breakneck to get to where we are. We're just now starting to get ahead of to where we need to be. But, you know, the schedule hasn't been terribly smooth, and it's been a lot to orchestrate, and sometimes you don't know until, you know, you're not certain that the pages are going to come, honestly, and or you don't want to, I don't know, I mean, a lot of the kind of stuff would have to be kind of up to, like, Warren's dance, or, like, I'm not sure what the wisdom of it is. We certainly have no intention of hiding it. It's just, I think, the logistics of that, of our kind of berserk schedule have kept us from really being able to
capitalize
kind of a complete upfront picture, you know?
Sure. Sure. Well, it's been, like I said, for me at least, it's been a great surprise. I've enjoyed all the guest artists on it. Moving on to something that was announced a little while ago, your new book that you're going to be working on, The Champions.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about that, and you know, what are we going to see in this new book?
Well, it's apparently not going to be called The Champions.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. What's the deal with that? I mean, we heard the news story.
Champions
and
with the Z at the end.
Champions.
The new champions, Extreme the astonishing champions.
Yeah, it can't. We apparently can't have the word champions in a comic
at all.
The title. No, it's in the title. So we're working on it. We'll figure it out.
All right. So at this point, you don't know exactly what it's going to be called, or you?
We're bouncing ideas around. We haven't settled on anything yet.
Okay.
Champions.
They'll still be the champions inside the book.
Okay.
But the book is now going to have like a different title.
Like the L.A. Avengers?
Yeah, although you can't, because that's actually the Los Angeles Arena football team.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And what's more, these guys aren't really the Avengers, so it's just kind of, yeah. You know.
Right.
Has there been a lineup set for the team yet?
Yeah, but it's all new characters. It's it's sort of a spinoff of the Initiative. It's like a little cul-de-sac on the Initiative. It's a different kind of program. These are literally all new characters, except for Tony Stark and Pepper Potts. You've never seen anybody before. It's these people are sort of handpicked, hand chosen by Tony. They're people who've all, in their human lives, achieved some degree of heroism or greatness and have understand on some level what it means to be a hero. This could be in a very big way, like somebody who's done a lot of charity work, or a very small way, and that somebody was a tremendous athlete whose career was kind of cut tragically short. There's a lot of kind of definitions for hero, and these people all kind of experience it. They're all sort of, they understand what it is to be admired and idolized, and what it means to sacrifice and do these kind of works and to think bigger than yourself. So there's a social responsibility that everybody on the team shares in their own weird way. and all of them have kind of fallen from grace a little bit, and this is an opportunity for them to rise and to achieve kind of heroism on a superhuman scale. And the kind of tag of the book is, if you had a year to save the world, could you do it? And this is it's a one-year program. At the end of the year, the kind of the process that enhances them and has turned them superhuman is reversed, and they'll kind of be returned to normal lives. But for the time being, if you were given this chance, if you were given a year in which someone said, here, save the world, could you do it? And so this is about people who do it. It's a competitive program. The people you meet in the first issue aren't going to be the people who are around in the last issue. The people you meet on the first page aren't going to be at the end of the first issue. It's competitive continuance and competitive entry. You train beside your own replacement. It's sort of like a baseball team where there's like, you know, your third base is three deep, you know? If you sprain your ankle, there's going to be another guy playing third tomorrow night. So don't sprain your ankle. So it's just kind of different. It's a kind of a new approach on how to arrange and run a superhero team. And Barry Kitson is the artist, and I'm a Barry Kitson fan. This is my favorite stuff I've ever seen him do, since Empire.
Well, I was going to ask you.
This is Barry Kitson's career best stuff so far.
It's set in Los Angeles. Are we going to see any sort of Runaways crossover or any kind of information, you know, any kind of continuity with that sort of world that
I believe the Runaways are in New York now.
Oh, are they? Runaways?
Right now. Joss Whedon is in New York.
Oh, friggin' Whedon. I'm reading in trade. I'm behind.
Yeah, you got some trade waiters here.
The Runaways won't hang out in any of the flyover states.
Yeah.
In L.A. or New York. That's it.
Yeah, but the whole thing is that they start in L.A. and they find a headquarters that they want, and L.A. won't give it to them. And then suddenly other towns in California start making bids for them and offering them tax breaks and offering to make, you know what I mean? So it becomes like a competitive thing where they think they're going to be based in L.A., but it kind of becomes a mystery, like, three or four issues in, suddenly.
The Modesto champions.
Exactly. Yeah, well, you know, but San Diego, hey, it's San Diego, and it's here, and here's what we can offer in San Francisco. I mean, Northern California and Southern California are practically two different states anyway.
They're not considering Riverside, are they?
Beautiful.
Exactly, the Los Angeles, California champions of Anaheim.
The Anaheim Empire. But they can't be called the champions.
Well, the other thing I saw...
No, they can be called the champions, but the book can't be called the champions.
They are the champions. The other thing I saw in the solicit of it, or the preview information about it, is that the powers can actually be taken away if these characters...
Yeah. There's I came up with one of my favorite, like, voodoo bullshit comic words. Genomecha. There's a kind of mechanical process applied on the gene level that basically turns regular. It mimics the mutant gene, so they are sort of store bought mutants. But you can be turned off just as easily as you can be turned on.
Yeah.
And people get fired. People screw up and they get fired. There are behavior clauses. There are morals. There's performance issues. You know, I mean, there's a degree of performance expectation. If you don't perform, they're not going to let you shoot rays out of your eyes.
Sure. Well, we were talking about 52 earlier. It almost sounds like the Luther...
Infinity, I'm really glad I read that. just so I didn't tread on any of that. It was, you know, it's not like he can flip a switch. You're not going to get Reign of the Superman. It's not like that. I mean, there's a process that has to be done, but yeah.
Is there any chance of any more creator-owned stuff from you in the future?
Casanova is starting up again, and there's a couple of graphic novels that I'm working on in all of my volume of spare time. But, I mean, I'm keeping pretty busy, you know?
Can't wait until the next podcast? Be sure to check out AroundComics.com for breaking news, reviews, and opinions.
Do you guys have any Punisher questions?
We didn't even talk about Punisher. I forgot.
You're working on too much stuff, man. Yeah. Have you gotten any more?
He's kind of dressing up like Captain America and killing people.
Oh, that's right.
have you gotten any?
We gloss
more?
About that. We gloss over all the big events stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
I got called a Nazi today.
What?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I got called a Nazi in an email.
No, very nice. Oh, I'm sorry about that. Wasn't meant for you.
Yeah, fuck
that was
you.
Well, have you gotten any more hate mail from Stiltman fans?
Actually, no. Which sort of makes me feel like I was resoundingly correct in killing him. That no one likes Stiltman, not even his own fans.
Now, I heard that you have a Stiltman hero click on your desk now. because of that.
I do. He's right next to my Buddha Captain Kirk.
How the fuck did you know that?
What? Yeah. Who told you that? I would be worried.
Also, those shoes I think don't go with those pants today.
Soon Matt, soon to join the Greg Rucka...
The phone call is coming from inside the house, Matt. Yeah.
I that's cool.
I'm scared.
Scary. I thought I would. I yeah. That's
we're all creeped out here. So
yeah, I don't know where to go.
To
all right, let's
thanks,
let's.
Greg Rucka. He doesn't know what you have on your desk by now.
So, Punisher War Journal. Let's go back to that. Maybe if we can. What is? I mean, obviously we've seen the cover of Frank dressing up in a sort of Captain America.
Well, the issue's out, so I can kind of talk about it a little bit. I mean, it's not.
Wait,
now I'm Captain America. You see what sets him
in
on
motion.
His way.
Keep going.
Sort of, there's a guy who has decided that the answer to the immigration issue is to get a bunch of Nazis like yourself together and kill innocent people. And he's decided he's going to do it, and now that Captain America's dead, that he is going to dress up in a costume that is sort of a grotesque Nazi parody of Captain America's costume. And he's going to shoot innocent Mexicans in the head. This is the new hate monger. Deal with it. And Frank it just is incensed morally and everything else between his kind of respect and admiration for Captain America and everything else. He is enraged, and as he says, we gotta steal a car, I'm going to Mexico, I gotta shoot that guy in the face. Add to it a momentary flash forward of that mysterious costume, and you can kind of see where we're headed, that he's not dressing up like Captain America and saying, oh, now I am Captain America, but it is a sort of an ideological battle for that symbol. You know, it's a little bit of a curveball, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those where there's a vacuum in the Marvel U now, and somebody has to step in to fill at least part of that.
Yeah. And I think that, and like I said, it's sort of more of a defensive maneuver on Frank's part than any sort of, you know, he's doing this for this reason. This reason is hate monger, and that there is in fact a Nazi trying to kickstart a superhuman race war along the border.
Can I ask you why the person called you a Nazi? I sort of got
because that. I suggested that anyone that opposed an open border policy was a Nazi. It was in sort of your typical lunatic extremist thinking. It was black and white, and there was no sort of. It wasn't that I was suggesting that there were perhaps some Nazis in the world that would go this far, but rather anyone who is against open border policies is a Nazi.
That's hardly
and
seems
a killer,
like
and I obviously hate them. And really, doesn't that make us the Nazis? Which is literally kind of the whole email, only it was kind of subliterate.
Well, I find it surprising that a comic book fan thought of things in black and white. I was surprised.
Hard line sort of opinions.
It's disrespectful to all the hard work that Ariel does. It's beautiful color work on that book.
Yeah, but that idea only sold a third as much. So
yeah, exactly.
So
story of my fucking life, dude. But yeah, it was going around the War Journal staff today. We were all sort of, well, Nazis. So you had to find out like this.
Well, you had talked about it a little bit earlier that you had worked in the direct market. Did that kind of prepare you for the mentality of a lot of fans out there? And kind of, you know, did you come in kind of knowing to insulate yourself a little bit with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm coming out of it now. Like, I'm feeling like I've found my sea legs and, like, I'm confident. I'm more confident now than I was 6 months ago as a Marvel writer. Mm-hmm. It's different than just being a writer, you know what I mean? Because one of the things with working with Ed is that it's not, I know how to write, I know how to write comics, but writing comics the Marvel way, writing comics like the successful Marvel way is a different skill set. And doing work for hire, if you're gonna care about it, is different than doing your own stuff because, like, you do have these considerations you have to think about. You know, there are shareholders, and there's a bottom line, and there's editors, there's a history, there's a lineage, there's a fan base, there's, you know what I mean, there's a lot of stuff you have to kind of keep in your head, and when I started, I was so kind of nervous about it that I didn't want to pay attention to it, so I went into this kind of ego quarantine and haven't really heard or read anything, it's changed a little bit now. When Champions was announced, and then like a week or two later, they put the Captain Punisher image out there. Then I was like, okay, well now we're going to be one of those things that people are attacking before. It's like the prior to investigation. We're going to get killed for these out of context things right now, and it's going to be hilarious. And I went through, sure enough, we were getting killed by some people for these completely, we were getting, you know, praised from some people. It was just that sort of, it's a single image of people like, fuck this, this is bullshit, this is the worst story, and it's like, it's a picture.
You are the suck.
Seriously. Like, exactly. From a single contextless image, you've decided that the next seven issues of Punisher and the whole second fucking year that we have planned and where we're going after this storyline sucks.
And you're a Nazi.
And
it's a logical conclusion.
I'm a Nazi. Now, yeah, exactly. So, like, there's and Champions is the same thing. Like, what? This looks ridiculous. Champions? This isn't Champions. This is stupid. And it's like, it's a press release.
I want Hercules, Ghost Rider, and Iceman back.
I started writing reviews of press releases. Just
but I knew that, like being around long enough, I knew that was coming. So when that came, I was like, okay, well, I can take this. This will be funny. And it's helped me kind of find my sea legs a little bit. But yeah, no, I mean, I've been an observer of the industry long enough to know that when Punisher 1 came out, I got the fuck off the internet.
Yeah.
So I know it's sold really well. And I know I still have a job. Mission accomplished. That's, you know what I mean? I hope people like it. I hope people are enjoying it.
I think that's healthy.
At some point, you have to sort of let go of any of that because you'll drive yourself insane.
You have to tune out the vocal minority.
Yeah. I mean, I know people who, like, well, you hear stories about guys who, like, change their storylines because, like, the internet knew where they were going. Like, there are, like, writers who, like, will change the direction of what they're doing based on, like, fucking message boards.
Did you read any of the speculation on the Cap Punisher picture and like see anybody who got it and I mean, or was everything just completely out there? Or, like, did you see it once and just be like, oh, they got it, but you know, obviously not changing it or anything.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like I said. I mean, I hope other people who read it kind of see what we're doing and see that there's a little bit of a curveball to it. It's not just as simple as I shall become a bat. You know, it sort of comes out of the character and it's the most character-driven costume change I've ever read in comics.
Well, people tend to react to stuff like that's now the permanent thing. Like, they're like, oh, now this is what it's going to be. This
Spider-Man's wearing a black costume again. It'll never change.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing is that this is the job. The job is to break the toys as artfully and as interestingly as we can, and then with as much elegance and firepower and pure entertainment value, put them back together again. That's the job. Like, that's Work for Hire Comics on its most superficial level. It's like, yeah, but look, it can't be static storytelling, so it's how are we going to get back to one? How are we going to get back to where we started? How are we going to get back to where we were at the beginning? And that's what these arcs are. That's what we're supposed to do, is come up with these interesting kind of crucibles to put these characters through. Because, yeah, we all know where they're going to end up.
Right. Well, it's sort of the double edge of it, is that you want as much character development and character growth, but at the end of the day, you know that Peter Parker is going to be Spider-Man,
yeah,
or Captain America, you know, whatever.
What you're doing is you're stealing mom and dad's car, and then you're bringing it back and rolling the odometer back so they don't
exactly,
know.
Exactly. But hopefully you're stealing mom and dad's car to go do something fantastic.
Yeah. You're Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, exactly. It's all. We got to put the genie. You don't have to. It's not about putting the genie like back in the bottle, but you have to put the bottle back on the shelf.
I had read an interview with Mark Miller about that, and he had, you know, I think it was when he was doing
the Marvel Knights Spider-Man,
and you know, he said it's just your responsibility because there's going to be someone after you to write that character.
No, listen, this is a relay race, and we've been handed the batons. You know, and look, you can have as much respect or as little respect for it as possible. There are a lot of writers that have nothing but contempt for it, and a lot of artists that do, but, like, I'm not one of those guys. So, like, I have a Spider-Man annual coming out next week, and it spans, like, his entire life. You know, like, so I got to write scenes with, like, the gang hanging out at the Coffee Bean, and then I got to write stuff that's taking place, like, current continuity, like, current Back in Black storyline, you know, stuff. And just kind of to sit there with, like, six volumes of Marvel Essentials, all of them dog-eared and all of them marked with, like, okay, I can take... There's, like, direct callbacks. Like, if you're a Spider-Man continuity freak, there are pages and panels recreated from his entire history in this annual. Right? Then we've built whole new scenes out and done this kind of whole, you know, very, it was me kind of putting on my Kirk Busiek hat and sort of doing Untold Tales of Spider-Man stuff, where, like, we'll represent a scene, but suddenly it's got thought balloons. So there's a whole new subtext and stuff like that. But, like, to sit there and to feel the weight of that legacy was really kind of like, wow, this is dope, you know? I know that I'm not, like, curing cancer, and I get to work in my pajamas all day if I so choose, but, like, we've been handed this baton, and there's a rich legacy that we can choose to honor or we can dismiss, but someone's going to pick up that baton after we put it down.
One other question, because you kind of mentioned it a couple of times, working with Ed and sort of that process of learning this sort of Marvel sensibility.
Yeah.
One of the things I was wondering is, because I think Ed does it as good as anyone, is that while he sort of knows how to write the Marvel way, he also can do it where his work is very identifiable. You know it's his work. Is that sort of what one of the things that you were able to pick up from him? Because obviously yours has the same feeling. I mean, you know
when you're reading a fraction.
Right, as opposed to...
There are things that are very clearly me, and there are things that are pretty clearly him, but also there's stuff that I've kind of... I think we kind of are getting to where we can do a passable version of each other now. But no, I mean, I think there's... at the core of it, though, I mean, that's not even style. That's just voice, you know, that's just soul. That is what makes Ed Ed.
Right.
You know? And I mean Ed not just, like, as a very special person, but as a writer, and as a writer who's going to be around for a while, you know what I mean? As, like, one of the greats.
Well, you know, his goal is just to retire and write Archie comics, so I think that's...
And the romance comics.
Goal? That's his goal?
Yeah. Yeah, he wants to sit around and write Jughead comics.
No, he's going to kill Moose. He kills somebody every time. Veronica's
Archie Crime comics,
Moose,
the new Archie Crime.
Veronica or something.
The news stories that day would be awesome.
Moose is
CNN.
I think he should do a Frank Kafka Private Eye spinoff series out of Criminal.
Well, he did say that you're going to meet the artist behind Frank Kafka. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll see some more of that in that book.
He told me that storyline is going to be really awesome. But that's one of my favorite bits from the first volume of the Frank Kafka inserts. It's good stuff.
Well, Matt, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. And
thanks for having me. Sensational Spider-Man Annual number 1 on sale this Wednesday, and I don't know when that shit comes out.
And then, May 16th, Casanova Deluxe Hardcover, perhaps?
Cast hardcover, middle of May. Look for the big, beautiful hardcover book that everybody's drooling over.
Nice.
And then Champions is July. It's got the cover of Previews, I found out today.
Oh,
it won't be
nice.
Called Champions, though. So if you go to the shop.
The don't know what it's
air
called.
Quote Champions, end quote.
Yeah.
Maybe Champions. but it's seriously Barry Kitson, tremendous stuff. And then Casanova starts up again in August.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read the scene in issue 9 where the people are having sex inside the head of the giant robot, that was tonight.
Nice.
All right, fantastic.
All right, and you're going to blow up St. Louis one of these days, right?
I think I have an idea for blowing up St. Louis.
All right.
That I've come up with on this phone call. So we'll see if I can pull it off. I got to make a phone call on Monday. We'll see if I can make it happen.
It pains me to tell you this, Matt, but it's, I believe, fifth inning, and it's Cubs 4, Cardinals 1.
Wow!
Yeah, Felix P.A. just hit his first big league home run.
Hey, go Felix Pie! I would like to believe that guy's name is Pie, but he decided he'd like Stephen Colbert, you know? He wanted
it's
to be like
Colbert.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
But you also have, of course, Immortal Iron Fist and Punisher War Journal on top of the Amazing Spider-Man Annual. And
Sensational.
Or Sensational, sorry.
That's on Wednesday. And then, let's see, Iron Fist Champions, Punisher, Spidey, blankety blank and blank, and then Casanova and August. Yeah.
You're supposed to edit stuff in there.
Yeah. He's got a cookbook coming out this fall.
Exactly. How to Make Love the Matt Fraction way.
All right. Well, Matt, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You
so and yeah, we'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and much love.
Absolutely. Well, tell Kelly Sue that we said hi, and we'd love to talk with her at some point also.
I will indeed.
All right. Yeah, have a great night, man. All All right, we'd like to thank Matt Fraction for joining us. Always a pleasure to have him on the show, and always makes for some good conversation. You never know what Mr. Fraction's going to talk about.
Never quite certain what will come out of that twisted mind of his.
You should have heard what we edited out.
Ooh. You can't. You'll never. It's gone.
It's going to be on the collector set. It's going to be on the clip show in episode 100.
I'm never doing a clip show.
I did a clip show for our 50th. It was really hard.
I'm not going back doing a clip show.
Speaking of, we kind of made a semi-executive decision today. Episode 100, nothing special.
We said that last week when you were gone.
Yeah.
We made that decision.
We already said that.
Chris, it was a majority vote, me and Tom. You didn't matter.
It's going to be a quiet evening with just some a red wine and a book.
Actually, Sal won't be here.
Red
It'll
wine
just be you and me.
And Scotty.
Episode 100, no pants.
The shittiest
episode.
Shittiest
episode
ever. Is
going to
be a repeat of the lost episode where we recorded and then lost it?
I'm not going to be there.
All right. Good times. Everyone.
Well, we actually another guest here on the show, and we wanted to talk with him, and Sal had mentioned it off mic a few minutes ago. We actually had more questions for Josh than we did for Matt Fraction on the forum.
Well, Josh is a superstar, international superstar.
It was just more of like, why are you the suck? Just like my questions. 1-1-1.
He didn't. Yeah. And nobody asked him. Told him he was a Nazi though. So that's you got one up
not
on him.
You know.
Well, here's, on our forum.
Here's our first question, and
I have a sheet here, by the way, that says questions for Josh, and they've been blacked out, so I don't know what they are.
Well, we should.
That would have ruined the spontaneity of the moment.
In case anyone missed it in the beginning of the show, Josh is from iFanboy, one of our favorite podcasts, another comic book podcast. You can find it at iFanboy.com. And they do a video podcast at
Revision3.com.
So very cool stuff. Go check them out if you haven't seen them or listened to them before. But anyway, on with the questions.
I had someone send me an email and wanted me to ask you about the great Rob Liefeld hot tub incident of 2001.
Jesus, you people pay attention. I mean, that's...
We research.
Wow, because...
Everyone's feet were in the water and you couldn't see them.
No, it was... Like... We learned this by being on these podcasts that you need to watch what you say, because it's funny because I'm sitting here talking to you and I don't think anybody's listening. And to this day, like when we put a podcast out, we're like, no one is actually listening to this.
You can say whatever you want.
But don't do
run
that.
Run for office.
a few years ago, we were in San Diego and we were down in the hot tub in a completely non-gay way. We were sitting around talking. Oddly enough, I've actually been in more hot tubs around the world with Connor Kilpatrick than I've been like all across the country, in London once. I don't know what that's about. Swear to God. Anyway.
They have hot tubs in London.
Okay, I'm going to take this aside because it's a funny story. Everything in the UK is like way, way more complicated than here. So, like, you know how here there's a list of rules at the hot tub, like, don't go in if you're pregnant, don't go in drunk, don't go in... There was a list of 27 items, at least two paragraphs apiece in the UK hot tub of, like, different things you couldn't do. They're so specific, and it was scary. Anyway, I'm at a hotel in San Diego, and we're chatting to a guy, because, you know, he's there for the Comic-Con, too, and I have a Green Lantern tattoo on my right shoulder, and he could see that, and something's just like, are you here for the Comic-Con? And I'm like, no shit, but I...
no, what?
What? We're shooting
the fanboy charm.
We're shooting the shit about comics. I don't really say that. See, this is what I'm talking about, where I forget I'm talking to real people. I'm really an asshole in real life. I'm like John Lennon, without the talent. And we start, and I made some stupid Liefeld crack, you know, like, and the guy, like, he's like, you know, Rob Liefeld gave me my first break. It's like, oh.
Oops.
And he's like, yeah, I didn't have a job, and he brought me in, he taught me everything I know, he was a great guy, he invited me to the house, he, all sorts of stuff.
That's
like,
really funny of all the people, like, did somewhere in your mind you're like, now it's the time to break out a good Liefeld joke. Like,
yeah. I mean, I was being such an ignorant prick because I'd never read a thing that Liefeld did. I just knew
nice,
he was like a punchline. Although I've seen his work since, and I'm not really a fan. I'm sure he's a really nice guy, and he helped this guy out.
You just jumped on the bandwagon.
I totally
crushed
did, and I'm going to admit to it.
Well,
like
Scotty Young was here today, or is here, I should say, today, and I had to remember I said some not... They weren't mean things about him, but it was kind of nice.
You just
not
basically said that you weren't a fan of Scotty's work.
Yeah, back when we
of
first started.
Of his style.
Of
yeah.
his style a long time ago, and then I found out he listened to 50 episodes in a week of our show. And
came here with a tire iron.
Came here with, yeah, and...
I told Jack Kirby's kids that I was Jack Kirby's son to them in a hot tub. And it was very awkward. I was like, yeah, I'm Tom Kirby. And they're like,
Tom Kirby. Don't you know me? I'm Tom Kirby.
Well, by the way, that was
Kiss
Connor.
My ring.
That was Connor who sent that question.
Really?
In. Yes.
So. Bastard.
How embarrassing. Is that
none of the real
the
questions.
Comic-Con?
Yeah, what do you think? Fuck you.
have you seen Tom's tattoo?
No.
Tom has a tattoo.
Yeah, well, this
oh my God.
He's wearing a sweater.
Yeah, let's do
yeah,
this later.
We'll show it later.
After the drinks.
Fair tattoos.
Does anyone have a nipple
in the hot
ring,
tub. Or? You'll see it in the hot tub. Don't R.H. Coop asked, or didn't ask, but he said, ask him about discussing Fables on their show and see what he says. So, what do you say?
Fables is kind of a running joke on your guys'
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I mean, like Ron, it goes back because Ron has like this thing against Vertigo where like he... Whatever he thought of Vertigo when it first came out, like, he still does. So he's like, I'm not reading that. It's all about Vertigo.
The man who's read X-Men religiously, no matter what.
Right, right, right. And he's like, I don't want to look like one of those goth fans or whatever. I'm like, it doesn't do
it's
that.
It's not a goth. Fables isn't a goth.
I know, but I don't
he
know.
Thinks
but
it
whatever,
is.
Like, the pitch came in, and he's like, I don't want any of that. And so, like, the first time I picked Fables as a pick of the week, it was like... the worst show we ever did. Because they were both just giving me shit the whole... And afterwards, they were even like, I think we may have gone too far. And so, you know, 2 months later, we're doing a show, and we were doing a live show. A lot of times they do Skype. And they're acting conspiratorial for some reason at the end of my thing. And I'm looking at them, and I don't know what they're doing. And they both pull out their Fables trades. And I just started laughing because they had both read the first one and given it a chance. But the thing was, it kept coming back to me. Even after they read it, they're like, no, it was okay. It was pretty good. It keeps coming back to them. That, like, you hate it. And they're like, no, we read it. It's all right. They don't love it.
If you say something one time, that's how you will feel
that's
forever.
Well, also, if law. One person says something, it applies to the rest of us. Like, the three of us don't agree on anything.
People think that Greg Recker got a restraining order against all three of us.
Oh.
But it's just...
It's just Chris.
It's Chris is the weird one.
Yeah. Cool. We just, you know, have talked to him and shook
hands.
Are we
still going
hands?
To his house later?
Electronic.
Oh.
The footage.
He's got a hot tub, so.
Next question.
What is the next? Grand Turk. I'd be interested in hearing Doom's opinion of why he has. Or
well, we can't do
hasn't
that.
Hasn't been invited onto the iFanboy podcast.
Because Doom's exclusive to our show. And Doom only shows up when.
I was like, I don't do Doom.
Yeah, no. Doom only shows up when
I
Tom
do
has
bad
free
British
time.
Next one is
Doom is lazy.
From Chip Weakrocker, our buddy over in Rockford. It was Josh. I get the impression that you guys read more than just superheroes. Comics. I'm just wondering why you don't talk about a broader array of genres. Is it the fear of alienating the audience that you've cultivated? What do you think iFanboy brings to the comic podcast table?
We talked about this on the train,
yeah.
Which is really
this is like this is like the question that pops up every 3 months. I think we just did this like 2 weeks ago on our show, but I'll do it again.
Fuck indie books.
Right, that's totally it. It's because of all them artsy fruit people do books that don't have superheroes. We all read all sorts of books. Our weekly show is about the books that come out that week for the most part. The first sort of chunk of it is Pick of the Week. And Pick of the Week, the rule is that whatever book you bought, weekly issue that came out that week, and whatever one is the best one, that's the one that gets to be the pick. So, most of us happen to not buy weekly or monthly issues of indie books because we buy them in trades or whatever. It's just how it happens. Like,
you're killing the industry, man.
I know. But there's this whole other part of the show where we answer questions about stuff, and we talk about indie books there a lot. And there's like all this, like, well, what's an indie book? Vertigo doesn't count, or Image doesn't count. And it's like, you know.
Well, let's listen to the one where you had picked Fell 8 as your pick. And then later in that episode, you guys were talking about some stuff from Boom Studios. So it's not like you guys are a Marvel and DC cast.
Yeah, it just happens that, like, most of the issues that we buy on a weekly basis are superhero books, because that's the issues that we buy. But I don't think it's fair to say that's all we read. And there's the video show that we do also. And on the video show, we've done all different types of books, and we're going to keep doing that going forward.
I think that you guys, just in the natural progression of your show, have kind of broadened your taste. And, you know, it kind of almost had to happen that you're going to end up talking about the same books, you know, every 3 weeks if you don't do that.
I always notice that I end up picking... I picked Fables twice in a row.
It gets to be tough. I mean... I often am find myself trying to find something non-mainstream, only because
you get sick of talking about.
Well, you get sick of talking, and it's like
we pick a favorite book each week as well, and it gets
hard
sometimes.
We've made it to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
I have a letter here. This is by our lawyer.
You'll have to pick your second favorite book.
Yeah, if you're gonna have to, you can't use the word pick.
It's the next from top of the stack.
Apple from the tree.
See, because we have Ubba as well. That's a problem too.
I did want to say that Chip said, just so he doesn't come off as like a dick, he just said, I just want to say that I appreciate the efforts of all the people out there that make free content such as iFanboy and Around Comics available to such sad sacks as myself.
I'm not really, I'm just sort of, you're getting the brunt of this question like a bunch of times because like people are, I don't want to say challenging the indie cred, but it's like, what does that mean? We're just talking about books we like. If it happens to be one thing or another.
It is interesting how much you find, people expect, I mean, you put out, and I don't want to get into like a whole rant about like people not appreciating what you do or anything, but you put out a free podcast of just like you and your friends or whatever talking about comics, and then it becomes like you owe people something that they want.
We don't have their taste, which is always like, well, you don't talk about the things I like.
Yeah.
But I also think it's odd because I think, this is some inside baseball talk for all you fans. This is industry talk.
The industry talk.
Comic podcast industry.
But I also think it's interesting, too, because when you look at like the very nature of what a review is, if you judge everything you buy off of solely on reviews that you read, like you'll miss out.
Enjoying
stuff
it
that
yourself,
you might actually enjoy. It's like it needs to be put within a frame of reference. Like certain people, it's like with music reviews. Like I know certain music reviewers that I agree with, and certain ones that I don't. You know, and you kind of have to get a hang of like what people.
I often read reviews after I've read a book to see what people said.
I do
as
that
opposed
all the time on Newsarama.
You know, one thing though
is
that we're really proud of is that we get letters from people saying that they had only read superhero books before they ever listened to us. Like, there are people who are like, I never read indie books before. It's like, they had never gotten outside of that. And we're really proud of the fact
we
that,
get
like,
the same ones, and it's, you know, it makes our day whenever we get
them. Right, because what we're doing is we love superhero books. Of course, it's like, I read more superhero books now because of this stupid show. Like, I'm like,
God damn it.
When we started the show, I barely bought any superhero books. And now I'm like, these are fun, because they're fun to talk about, for one thing. Like, it's one thing, like, we can sit here and bullshit all day about Captain America and his crazy suit, but like on the other hand, like, are we going to talk about depressing indie comics? Like, it's not as much fun.
It is
a deconstruct blankets.
I know. Yeah. Like,
well, it's more of a sort of soul venture. You know what I mean? It's like something like that. You enjoy it. You know, I mean, I know Tom reads all sorts of indie books.
Yeah.
You don't talk about them all that much because it's just
you hit him.
Well,
when he does.
One of the things that we talk about turning other people on to books, and that is It's a huge bonus for the show. I love it any time that anyone sends us an email and says, hey, I checked this out, and thank you. But something that I love is that this show has made me broaden my taste in comics. I'm reading stuff that I never would have picked up because it's almost a sense of obligation my pocketbook doesn't like it.
Spend a lot more money, so that
you have to buy all those statues, Chris. They're necessary for the show.
Someone might bring it up.
He's wearing a Thor helmet right now.
But, you know, the show has taught me a lot about comics since I started it. And so, you know, I feel more informed as a comic fan because we do this every week. And that's been a big benefit for me.
Definitely. Definitely. And like recently I just bought like a whole bunch of stack of indie books. Because even I have the indie guilt sometimes. I put up a thread on the site and I was just like, what books should I buy? And I spent like $100 on all sorts of stuff.
Well, Top Shelf just had their clearance sale where they had a bunch of stuff for like $1 and $3. And I got a crate of books delivered this week.
Crate.
Probably
not. It was. Literally. A pallet crate. Yeah.
Pallet wheeled in.
Yeah, I the only problem, you know, it's like I appreciate indie books as much as probably anybody, and I read a ton of indie stuff too.
No, you don't.
Well, maybe not anybody, but any normal human being. But I mean, quite honestly, there's just a lot of indie books out there that I have no interest in or aren't well done.
indie books are harder to suss out. There's a ton of them. There's mm-hmm. there's thousands of them. And like, how do I pick the one that I like?
All you don't even see all of them
either. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's hard.
Well, that's where I think the interactive part of the podcast is nice, because we'll have listeners that will email us suggestions, and we encourage that. It's like, if you read something that we're not talking about on the podcast and you like it, email us and ask us to check it out.
And we'll ignore it.
And we'll ask Greg.
Chances are we'll check it out and talk about it if we like it. So, I mean, because there is too much for any person to go out and investigate on their own. You have to You have to hear about stuff from word of mouth.
Well, our apology is over.
So, fuck off. Too bad.
I regret nothing.
Yeah. I talk about what I like.
You guys have a very fan interactive show. And it shows up, and you guys have cultivated that over a lot of time, and that's got to be a lot of fun for you guys.
It was weird. Mm. Like, it was from out of nowhere, because we had iFanboy for 5 years, mm-hmm. and it was, like, literally us and one other person who we didn't know, who's still around. And, like, it's the dude Abides, that's his screen name. He's been around for years, and what he doesn't know is that, like, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be doing it anymore.
Saved. Made you carry on.
Yeah. It was the one guy that listened. Yeah. Or
and
read,
the dude.
I guess,
people started showing up really quick, and then like people would hang around, and it's neat. It's a lot of fun, and I love our community. Like, out of all like the internet comic book communities, like they're so, I don't want to be like, they're so much better, but like there's just no vitriol. There's like all this discussion that's going on, and like the worst it ever gets is good-natured ribbing. Like, there's no
good old horseplay. Verbal horseplay.
We see the same thing at our site quite a bit in our forum, and we've actually started to notice that we have a lot of cross listeners.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is really kind of nice, and I think that atmosphere at both our forums, you know, and we don't want to get into a bunch of backslapping here, but
hey,
we have noticed.
Hey,
that.
Everyone,
good job.
Everywhere.
Nice,
that's
fine work, lad.
The first trade among podcasting. Tom and I are going to switch places.
Tom is going to marry Ron and merge the families.
Ron and I will be moving in together.
Ron, we got to talk about this, don't
we? All right, Owen816 says, I tried iFanboy when I first began listening to podcasts and it really didn't strike a chord with me. But in light of this upcoming episode, I decided to give it another shot. I'm glad I did, because the episodes I've listened to in the past couple of days have been very good. Anyway, you might want to make Josh buy a round for throwing them a new listener. So, buy a beer.
I'm pretty sure we gave you guys some, too.
Yeah, let's tally them up.
Yeah, but they hated us, so that doesn't count.
You know, actually, I told Ron and Connor, I had an old high school friend of mine that I had not been in touch with, you know, for 14 years, something like that, that saw me on your video cast from New York.
I have to make sure I don't make the same joke the first time you told me.
what was
my
it?
First
it was awesome. It was a second where he looked and he's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go for it.
The joke previous, now I'm going to say it anyway. You owe him money, and that's why he was interested. Put in the canned laughter.
Thank you guys for sending people back to us, and thank you for not thinking we still suck. I wonder why. Like, I wonder how early, because some of those first ones were. They
same
suck.
With us.
Well, they're all. I think every podcast goes through that. It's like,
you want funny? Go listen to iFanboy episode one.
We took our first three down off the feed.
Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah.
Well, the first one wasn't technically an episode. It was a test, and it was just like a song. It was just like an MP3 I picked out of the air. I just like put it up there because I was trying to figure out how to do a podcast. I didn't know
the
how
test
to do
episode.
What's odd is that someone found it. This has nothing to do with comics at all.
Yeah. I don't even remember
I'll
what
never
the song
to
was.
Them again.
They are the suck.
It was something bizarre too, but yeah, it's.
It took us a while to find our legs, and I don't know if we found
them
completely yet.
So every week, suck. I'm like, oh, that show sucked.
I always walk out of here angry. Yeah. Always.
You do.
Well, I always stop out. I'm loaded
that is part
angry
of the
by the end.
It's because he's gotten in a fight usually by then. And
God, never touch me ever during the
top
of the stack.
Tom.
Never touch me.
All right.
Well, Josh.
Back. Ego trip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, welcome
that's
to
enough stroking
welcome
each
to
other.
Big Head Town.
Well, we found out earlier tonight that you do breeze in through town from time to time, so we may see you again at some
breeze
point.
Breeze through town like a carpetbagger.
What is the Windy City?
This is like it's what I do, but you're all different than the people I normally do. It's like it's like I'm cheating, or it's like the podcast equivalent of a strip club.
Like it's a different group.
All this money.
Just don't put a dollar bill in the Centrus's G-string, please.
Oh, but he moves.
Oh,
nice.
We'll give you a lap dance.
Bad.
A comic book lap dance.
Your lap, actually.
All right. Well, folks, want to wrap things up here and start by reminding you to help us out by spreading the Around Comics love. There's a few different ways that you can do that. You can take us up on our Listener LCS Challenge. It is a flyer that you can download from aroundcomics.com. If you do that and put that up in your local comic shop, we will mention it on
the show. Leave it on public transportation.
Yes, yes. Tape it to your local bus. You can
spray
become paint. our virtual friend at comicspace.com/aroundcomics or myspace.com/aroundcomics. Or take me up on my personal favorite, and that is the iTunes Music Review.
You guys got way ahead of us. We were like neck and neck for the longest
time. Do you check that too?
Dude, like, I've been checking that since before I knew you.
iFanboy has 86. I was like, iFanboy has 86. We have 85. Bastards.
I was listening the other day, and you're like, we got 100th. I was like, wait a minute.
What happened?
Like, we stalled. But if you add our video show.
Oh, no. No, you can't. No, sorry. Pure audio podcasts only in this competition.
Yeah.
Video
no
is
one
a
wants
completely
to see a
separate
video
category.
Podcast.
So thank you to Brian Yolk, Random 73,
that's
Dave
why we
Sample,
Good
Night
God.
Flight, Darren 37, and Darren is actually a listener to your show.
I know Darren.
More Putty Pond. You guys are awesome. And we'll play if you. You know, if you have a chance, check out iFanboy and leave them a review as well.
And if you're one of our iFanboy people and you're listening to this for the first or second time or whatever, you should keep listening.
I like the
See
idea that someone would listen to it for a second time.
Well, no,
first time sucked.
Because Mom was on before.
Oh,
so, like, they came on and they were, because, you know, they like us and not you.
Which
I'm
completely understandable.
Like, my sarcastic, egotistical prick, and, like, somebody's going to
think
I'm really
like that. You're, you know, you guys are number one on the iTunes list. We're number three, so, you know, you can kick the sand in our faces, big bully.
You know what? We are such a bunch of dicks.
Let's unite against a common enemy.
Suntress.
Hines.
Yeah, but Suntress is here. We can roll him out back right after
I know,
the show.
No, but I have to look at him. Like, I don't have to see Hines, so I can say whatever, and it doesn't matter. And, like, I can be like, sure, you talk to everyone ever.
But
if
it's really...
talk to each other.
We don't have
All right, I'm not getting into that.
I'll talk later.
Careful what you say.
I like him. He's
we just... It's a superhero team-up. Speaking of team-ups, check out aroundcomics.com. It has a lot to offer. It's your source for the best in comic book
Turn it up, man!
And opinions.
What kind of segue was that?
It's the only kind
of
could happen.
It really doesn't have much of anything on it anymore other than a forum and links to other news stories. We kind of...
I wrote an original article several weeks ago. Yeah,
don't put yourself down, buddy. You do a good job. It's a nice
site. We just got done a backslide.
I know, but I keep trying to find ways to like do less and less on it, so I feel bad. I feel guilty.
No. Never.
All right.
We are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at comicspodcasts.com.
Just so everyone is aware, we post the next week's topic on Tuesdays at our format aroundcomics.com. And we would like to thank InStockTrades.com for sponsoring the show. InStockTrades.com would like to let all of our listeners know that they have the Punisher War Journal Volume 1 Premiere Hardcover, the 30 Days of Night Bloodsucker Tales Hardcover, and the Five Fists of Science graphic novel, all discounted by 30 to 35%. Find out why Matt Fraction is one of the hottest creators in comics by checking out any of these great titles.
Google an image of him.
Remember that InStockTrades.com is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at great discounted prices, and all orders over $50 ship for free.
And actually, I talked to the folks at InStockTrades today,
yes.
And when the Casanova hardcover comes out, it will be available, so that should be the middle of the month, so make sure and check that out, and what?
Well, like, it wouldn't be.
What?
They are going to do their job.
I double-checked. They will have it. It will be discounted at least 30%.
It's a bulletin from Diamond. They will be distributing it to stores.
Yes.
I
People
called my
will
shop
be selling
to see
it.
If they would have books on Wednesday.
No.
And for the 500th time in a row, Yes.
Oh, yeah, he fits
unbroken,
in perfect.
Unbroken.
He
all
cut,
make fun of you.
He cut
on
to the let's
stupid.
Kick Chris in the groin.
Josh immediately
Thanks, Josh.
Gets into making fun of Chris.
Appreciate it.
We are
making fun
blood
of Chris.
In the water. I couldn't
see if I ever come on your show.
Speaking of making fun of Chris,
can we do a trade between Jeff? No, never mind.
There are plenty of old time creators that would also make fun of Chris. The best way to support them
and
is
have
to
Carmine yeah. Infantino.
Yeah, the best way
Gene
to help
Colan,
these
call
make,
them a dick.
Help them make fun of Chris is to go to the Hero Initiative. Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who may need emergency medical aid, financial support for essentials of life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who have given us so much enjoyment. For more information, visit www.heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809 and tell them that Chris says weird southern sayings.
You can put kittens in the oven, but it don't make them
oh,
biscuits.
Oh, good Lord.
All right. I'd like to thank everyone for joining. Got you on that one, didn't I, Josh?
I was like, I didn't know where he was going. And then I was like, it kind
of
makes sense.
Is that
I don't know why.
I would like to thank everyone for joining us today. Matt Fraction, it's always a pleasure talking with him, and I'm sure we will have him back on the show in the future. Josh, once again, I hope that you come back through Chicago, and it's an open invitation anytime you do to
totally
come and sit
fun.
In with us.
Just don't
thank
be such a dick
much.
Next time, dick.
It's like my act.
Yeah, it's what I do.
I'm a big puss. Come on.
I mean, it's not even that cold in Chicago in his giant fur coat.
The pimp hat.
My diamonds.
And my nice grill.
My grill.
Oh, yeah.
He beat you to it.
Oh, God.
Jinx.
He owed me.
Oh, Tom, Sal, yes. Another Friday night.
No, so, yeah.
Friday night lost.
All right. Oh, next week, we talked about posting the next show. We're going to do a free comic book day.
On Saturday. Yeah, we're going to be. So we won't be here Friday. Don't show up if you're looking for us. We won't be here Friday. We'll be here Saturday during free comic book day.
So we're going to be spotlighting free comic book day, and we've got some fun guests lined up. So
fun time.
Yeah.
And then the week after, or the Thursday show. Show we're going to be talking to Gabe Hardman, who's a storyboard artist on Spider-Man 3 and various other films
coming up soon. And I like the idea that I don't know which one's going to be
100. Oh, I'll tell you. We'll
wait,
do it.
Wait, now, where Chris do you guys get guests?
How do we get guests?
How do you?
That sounds hard.
It
depends.
It's definitely a wild card. All right, folks, have a fantastic rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back again on Monday with another new episode. In the meantime,
in between time,
we'll be everywhere in
and around.
Making fun of Chris.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. Bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.
Do you ever take this fucking long to do a show?
Ow! Fuck!
God damn it.
It was like a... You're listening to Around Comics, episode 96. Shit, I mean...
From... Hold on. From...